This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Here we enlighten you with ayahs 261 and 262 from the Surah Baqarah, recited by Ali Parhiskar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةٍ أَنْبَتَتْ سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. The parable of those who spend their property in the way of Allah is as the parable of a grain growing 7 years, with 100 grains in every ear. And Allah multiplies for whom He pleases, and Allah is ample giving, knowing. As for those who spend their property in the way of Allah, then do not follow what they have spent with reproach or injury. They shall have their reward from their Lord, and they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve.
The
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Israeli forces kill scores of Palestinian civilians in new massacres in Gaza as the death toll from the regime's genocide tops 32,400, mostly women and children. Hezbollah fires a barrage of missiles at a settlement in the occupied territories in retaliation for Israel's deadly attack on an ambulance station in Lebanon. And the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution reaffirms the Islamic Republic's unwavering support for Palestine and the people of Gaza may be ongoing Israeli genocide. Hello and welcome everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. Nearly 6 months into Israel's genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, the regime's indiscriminate strikes keep claiming more civilian lives across the besieged territory. According to Palestinian Health Ministry, Israeli forces killed 81 civilians and injured 93 others. In a matter of 24 hours, at least 12 Palestinians, including children, were killed after an Israeli air raid hit a tent full of displaced people west of the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis. A separate strike on Rafah killed a child and wounded several others. Meanwhile, the death toll from an Israeli raid on a house sheltering displaced people north of Rafah rose to 19, including 9 children. The regime's air raids continued on the vicinity of Al-Shifa Hospital west of the Gaza city. The death toll from Israel's ongoing genocide has exceeded 32,400, mostly women and children. About 74,800 others have been injured. And in a fresh retaliatory attack, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has fired a salvo of missiles at the Israeli city of Kiryat Shemona in the occupied territories. A home was damaged and a settler was wounded in the strikes. A plume of black smoke was seen rising over the targeted site. The attack followed an Israeli air raid on a medical facility in southern Lebanon. Israeli warplanes targeted the emergency and Islamic Relief Center in the town of Hebariya, killing several paramedics. Hezbollah had condemned the act of aggression and vowed to avenge the attack. Tensions remain high between Hezbollah and Israel since the regime launched its genocidal war on Gaza. In early October, both sides have been exchanging fire, but Israel has intensified its attacks on civilians in Lebanon in recent weeks. Mariam Saleh is joining us now once again from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, to tell us more about the intensified aggression by the Israeli regime and the response coming from the Hezbollah resistance movement. Mariam?
Yes, well, Hezbollah had said in their statement where they denounced the aggression against the town of Hibiri and the killing of the paramedics. And they stressed in their statement that this will not go unpunished. As we know from Hezbollah, they have retaliated for the aggressions that are launched by the Israelis. But there are always different retaliatory operations when you do have civilians killed and you do have such massacres that are committed by the Israelis, especially since we do have a targeting of a medical center and the killing of paramedics. And in fact, this also led to the danger of many in that area. So Hezbollah said they targeted with tens of rockets the settlement of Kiryat Shmona itself, in addition to the barracks of Kiryat Shmona, which includes the main command center for the 769th Division of the Israeli Army. That in itself is significant, targeting the barracks. But it also seems that Hezbollah has targeted an area in Kiryat Shmona which has not been targeted before. Now, this settlement, the Kiryat Shmona area, is one of the largest in the Galilee region. And despite the fact you do have closed military zones, you do have areas that are still open. We had settlers there, not only military personnel. We know from Israeli media that at least five firefighter trucks are there trying to extinguish the fire. So there's a lot of fires in the industrial sites as well as the military site. They're saying there are two at least settlers that were missing. And so this basically is a new chapter in how Hezbollah is targeting and retaliating for the Israeli aggressions that are launched in South Lebanon and beyond South Lebanon. So here now we do have probably casualties, not only among the military personnel of the Israeli army, but also among the settlers and the workers in that zone specifically. We do know also from the leaders of the settlement saying that they're also going to close down the entire settlement. And that adds up to the areas that are going to be transformed into a military zone in the Galilee region and all those settlements in the northern occupied territories. And so we can see that Hezbollah was quick to retaliate. They said very specifically that at 8 a.m., tens of rockets landed. The Israelis said at least 30 rockets landed in Kiryat Shmona. And so that also takes us to the fact that the Israeli defense system, the so-called Iron Dome system, the trophy systems, they don't seem to be working. They don't seem to be basically defending the Israelis as they have promised, as they have claimed. Hezbollah has been able to work its way around that defense system and get to their targets very precisely. And since this is in an area where the media or even amateur videos, people there or those even soldiers are sometimes leaking a lot of the fires still in flames right now. And that industrial area is also another loss in the Israeli regime's economy, in addition to the casualties that could probably be adding up as we, of course, uncover the details of what happened in that operation.
All right, thanks, Alon. Mayam Saleh joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Well, Israeli troops have carried out fresh incursions into several towns and neighborhoods across the occupied West Bank. We were earlier joined by our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, who gave us more details on that.
The Israeli forces stormed Jenin and its refugee camp and some neighborhoods around the city. During this military raid, the Israeli forces, as usual, opened fire at the Palestinians there during this military incursion, shot and wounded 19-year-old Ayman Azouka, and prevented Palestinian paramedics or ambulances from reaching him when he arrived to the hospital. To the hospital, he was already dead. Over 450 Palestinians were shot and killed since the 7th of October. During the military raid to Jenin and its refugee camp, exchange of fire have taken place for several hours between the Palestinian fighters, members of the Jenin Brigade, and the Israeli forces. The Israeli forces had also stormed Qabatiyeh in Jenin and sent more Israeli forces and vehicles, armored vehicles, to that area. Clashes had also taken place, exchange of fire between the Palestinian resistance groups, the members of the resistance groups, and the Israeli forces as well. In Bethlehem, the Israeli troops had arrested at least three Palestinians during a military raid there, and the Palestinians said that during this military raid, the Israeli forces threw Molotov cocktails and heavy tear gas canisters at the Palestinian homes as well. The Israeli forces had also stormed the city of Nablus, specifically the village of Burqa, northern Nablus. In Qabati, as we have mentioned, during the military raid and the exchange of fire, the Israelis shot and wounded at least five Palestinians in Qabati near Jenin. The Israeli military soldiers had also raided the neighborhood of Am Sharayit in the city of Albiri and detained at least one Palestinian youth.
And we're going to go back to our top story as the incessant and indiscriminate genocidal bombing campaign of the Israelis continues. in the Gaza Strip for 6 months now. Our correspondent Moti Abu Musabe is joining us from Deir al-Bala in central Gaza with all the latest updates. Moti, what do you have to share with us?
Yes, actually, the last night was tough and a bloody night for the Palestinian people across all areas of Gaza Strip. Let's begin from Rafah City, as the Israeli occupation forces intensified their attacks against the residential buildings and the areas, particularly those adjacent to the Egyptian border. We are talking about at least three residential buildings were destroyed by the Israeli successive airstrikes that hit the western part and the eastern part of the Rafah city. At least 9 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed over those continuous and successive attacks and airstrikes. Needless to mention that those attacks are still continuous so far. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, as you know, the current Israeli aggression against the western part of the city, particularly the vicinity and the surrounding areas of the Nasser medical complex, has still continued so far with more airstrikes and more artillery shelling that reaches that area. And we are talking about also continuous attacks that are still hitting the residential buildings and the residential areas there, knowing that the vast majority of those buildings were completely destroyed and devastated by the chronic Israeli airstrikes that reached and targeted that area when the Israeli occupation forces carried out their first ground offensive against that area, inflicting more damage and destruction. According to multiple eyewitnesses, that the Israeli occupation forces opened the gunfire directly towards the Palestinian civilians. After releasing them, they were kidnapped from the Nasser medical complex, and after that they were shot dead by the Israeli occupation forces in a continuation of the continuous Israeli crimes and massacres committed left, right, and center against the Palestinian people. Here in the central area of Gaza Strip, the current situation also is still catastrophic and tense, as the Israeli airstrikes are still continuous and persistent. Over the last night, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained against the northern part of Nusayrat refugee camp and the eastern part of Al-Burij refugee camp. At least two Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed over those continuous and intense attacks against the central area of Gaza Strip. When it comes to Gaza City, as you know, the Israeli aggression is still continued against the western part of the city, particularly the vicinity and the surrounding areas of the Shifa medical complex. More attacks are still hitting those areas relentlessly, inflicting more destruction and more damage. According to multiple eyewitnesses there, that the current destruction left behind those airstrikes and unfolded after the continuous Israeli attacks actually is far more that destruction inflicted after the Israeli occupation forces carried out their first ground offensive against the Ashifa medical complex over the ground offensive there. So the current situation is still hyper-catastrophic at all levels. The Israeli occupation forces are still decimating Gaza Strip with more relentless, unabated airstrikes, in addition to the continuous and the chronic Israeli artillery shelling that reaches all areas of Gaza Strip. While the current situation in terms of the humanitarian conditions also is still catastrophic, as the Palestinian people, particularly inside Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza Strip, deprived of their basic humanitarian needs, as the Israeli occupation forces are still insisting on using starvation and famine as a weapon of war against the Palestinian people.
Thanks a lot. Moti Abu Musabe joining us from Deir al-Bala in central Gaza. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has reaffirmed the country's unwavering support for the issue of Palestine, as well as the oppressed and resistant people of Gaza. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remarks in a meeting with head of Hamas Political Bureau Ismail Haniyeh. The leader praised the historic steadfastness of the people of Gaza in the face of Israel's crimes and savagery, which enjoy full support of the West. He said despite what enemies intended, the issue of Palestine has now turned into a global priority. For his part, Haniyeh said Israel has failed to achieve any of its stated objectives during the past 6 months. He added that the U.S. administration is the main partner to Zionist crimes and is directly leading the regime's onslaught on Gaza. Haniyeh had earlier held a press conference with Iran's foreign minister Hossein Hamid Abdullahyani said the recent UN Security Council resolution was a sign of unprecedented isolation of the Israeli regime.
Although this resolution came late and there may be some gaps that need to be filled, the resolution itself indicates that the Israeli occupation is experiencing unprecedented political isolation.
The Hamas leader said Israel is losing its political cover and protection even in the UN Security Council. He added that the U.S., which is Israel's closest ally, cannot impose its will on the international community. During his meeting with Haniyeh, Iran's foreign minister said, despite its unprecedented crimes, Israel and its allies have realized that they cannot achieve their goals and eliminate Hamas. He also criticized Islamic countries for their failure to mount economic pressure on Israel, which would have greatly reduced casualties and destruction in Gaza. Thousands of Jordanians have once again filled the streets of the capital Amman to vent their anger at the U.S.-Israeli genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. This is the second night of violent protests in Amman, with people demanding the government sever all kinds of ties with the Israeli regime and stop the country being a transit for goods into Israeli-occupied territories. They were chanting slogans in support of the Palestinian resistance movement and its military wing, Al-Qassam Brigade. Security forces used batons and tear gas to disperse the angry demonstrators who tried to reach the Israeli embassy on Tuesday evening. And during the early hours of Wednesday, security forces also arrested a number of demonstrators, including at least one female. Jordan, which hosts 2.4 million Palestinian refugees, has witnessed several rallies in solidarity with Gaza since Israel launched its war on the besieged strip. The country has also been actively involved in airdropping humanitarian aid into Gaza. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has carried out new operations against Israeli targets in solidarity with Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Iraq's Islamic Resistance said the first operation targeted the Ovda Air Base in the occupied Palestinian territories using drones. In the second operation, resistance drones hit Israel's Spear military site, also in the occupied territories. The Iraqi resistance said the operations were carried out in response to the latest massacres of the people of Gaza by Israel. Iraq's resistance groups have conducted numerous operations against Israeli targets in recent months. They've also attacked U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in response to Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting. And everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, Salam everyone, welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulema, Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. The theme of the 16th episode of the Ramadan special series is bravery, focusing on the ayahs 43 to 47 of Surah Taha of the Noble Quran. Stay with us, please. We often get angry when we see injustice towards others. We want to shout or do something, but we may not be that brave to do it. So, we keep silent and shut our eyes not to see anything. A servant of God fears only God and relies on Him, especially when he wants to defend truth or speak truth. The Noble Quran has several times spoken of the accounts of prophets and their confrontation with arrogant and oppressive people or rulers. Prophet Ibrahim, for instance, was a prophet who designs a plan to struggle the false ideas of disbelievers and bravely put them into action in due time without an iota of fear or shakiness. He breaks down all idols except the big one. According to the Quran, he leaves the big idol intact so that it may cause the people to come to their senses and realize that unanimated objects who fail to defend themselves do not deserve to be worshipped. Prophet Moses, too, was very brave. Almighty God gave him the mission to invite Pharaoh to the truth. Since his brother Aaron was more eloquent than him, Moses asked God to let Aaron to accompany him to act as he wanted to speak to Pharaoh and his courtiers. Thus, these two apparently ordinary persons went to confront Pharaoh, who was very powerful politically and economically and had a broad influence among people. Ayahs 43 to 47 of Surah Taha relate Allah's command to these prophets. Go to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has rebelled. Speak to him in a soft manner. Maybe he will take admonition or fear. The two of them said, Our Lord, we are indeed afraid that he will forestall us or will overstep the bounds. In the next ayah, Allah answers them, Do not be afraid, for I am with you too, hearing and seeing whatever happens. Being heedful of Allah's presence makes man brave. If man considers himself linked with Allah, he will gain courage so that he will not be afraid of any power. Prophet Moses, perceiving nearness with Allah, stood in front of Pharaoh and his courtiers strongly and overcame them. When Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, migrated from Mecca to Medina, Imam Ali, peace upon him, laid in his bed, knowing that polytheists would pour into the house with the aim of killing the Prophet. They were pioneered by Khalid ibn Walid. Khalid rushed towards the bed with a sword in his hand, but Imam Ali quickly jumped up and bravely took his hand and squeezed it so that Khalid cried out in pain. Imam Ali, peace upon him, took Khalid's sword and turned towards the assailants like a lion. So they escaped like foxes and asked Imam Ali, peace upon him, while shivering, We have nothing to do with you. Where is your friend Muhammad? The commander of the faithful answered, Have you given him to me that you are looking for him here? Thus the polytheist left in despair. Allah describes in Ayah 54 of Surah Ma'idah his servants who struggle in his way. Allah will soon bring a people whom He loves and who love Him. They are humble towards the faithful, stern towards the faithless, waging jihad in the way of Allah, while they do not fear the blame of any blamer. According to this ayah, those who are loved by God do not fear anyone. One of the most important aspects of fear is the fear of losing one's face. We know many persons who have waged jihad in the way of Allah, ready to lose their life, but when their reputation and face was at risk, they were afraid and relinquished to support Allah's religion. This ayah clearly says that those whom Allah loves and who love Allah do not fear the blame of anyone. An important way applied by oppressors and arrogant people to dominate and rule over masses is to belittle and weaken them to turn them into cowards. This will make them capitulate to the commands of rulers. Pharaoh applied the same method, as it is said in the Quran that he belittled his people so they obeyed him. Another example was the reign of Mansur Dawaniqi, the Abbasid ruthless caliph, who wrote to his son, "I have subdued people in three ways. Now they are three groups. One group are the poor and the destitute who always extend their hands towards you. The second group are the fugitives who migrate and always fear for their life. And the third group are those who are in prisons and wish their freedom only through your pardon. When you come to power, do not provide much welfare and comfort for people." Bravery has a lot of manifestations, though bravery in the battlefield is an outstanding manifestation of it. Other manifestations of bravery are bravery in politics, bravery in judgments, bravery in expression of scientific issues, bravery in bidding what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and bravery in clarification of truth. Yet, the most important kind and manifestation of bravery is the bravery in struggling against desires. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "The bravest person is he who overcomes his desire." In the modern age, Imam Khomeini was a unique personality in all human merits, but his bravery was very conspicuous as he spent his life in striving in the way of Allah and struggling oppressors and the global arrogance symbolized by the U.S. His valor was prominent among ulema, politicians, and leaders of countries. In 1963, when he was arrested in his home at midnight by the agents of the Shah, he had not lost his moral at all. As he narrates the event, "When they were transferring me to Tehran by car, the car deviated for a moment from the road and went towards the Salt Lake. I thought that they intended to kill me. At that moment, I referred to myself to see if I was scared. I found that I was not scared." Ayatollah Khamenei describes Imam Khomeini with the words, "He broke idols and erased polytheistic beliefs and made nations understand that it is possible to become powerful, to break up the chain of enthrallment and grappling with domineers."
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Black and white.
Simplemente ser independientes.
The imperialist forces and the imperialist countries take different measures. One of the most perverse measures are the blockades and sanctions, particularly those exercised by the United States, also by Western Europe, and sometimes even by some international organizations such as the United Nations. Beware. The main function of these blockades is to try to complicate the life to the inhabitants of the countries with whom they have contradictions and want them to change their way of thought, government, and administration. Because it seems that freedom, free trade, and self-determination does not exist for them.
Claro que no sí. Y inmediatamente.
Of course, it doesn't exist. And they immediately take measures that in some cases have resulted in very serious issues in nutrition, medicine, and the most essential elements in some countries. That is to say, who is ultimately punished is the people who receive the sanctions.
Los gobiernos que han sido sancionados.
The governments that have been constantly sanctioned have become stronger in relation to their population.
Ya han cambiado el modelo de desarrollo.
And have changed the development model in such a way that, as the great Chinese leader and founder of the People's Republic of China, Mao Zedong, said, the reactionaries lift the rock in their hands to such an extent that when they hold it up, it falls off on their own feet. And the sanctions become something negative for those who have imposed them.
Y se convierten las sanciones en algo negativo para quienes la han llevado adelante. Así tenemos, por ejemplo, que...
Thus, for example, among 17 sanctioned countries with the highest number of sanctioned companies, individuals, and private entities,
particulares,
some have been strengthened to such a level, as is the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, which has had sanctions since 1950. The Republic of Cuba, which has had sanctions since 1960, and almost total since 1962, and the Islamic Republic of Iran since
1979.
Well, we also have Venezuela, where we have Venezuela today that is satisfying almost 90% of its food consumption through internal production, something that has never been in history.
Los países sancionados.
The sanctioned countries, Nicaragua and Russia, strengthen their internal construction, their internal market,
su mercado interno,
their internal industry, in such a way that they advance scientifically and militarily, deepening their independence and sovereignty, which has been a setback for imperialism. It is true that a cost that had to be paid.
Es verdad que se ha tenido que pagar un costo. Y lo han hecho pagar a los.
And that affects the people, all the inhabitants of the country that is sanctioned. It is the madness of imperialism, that fanatic thing of subduing others through hunger.
Someter al otro por el hambre. Esto hacen los gringos.
This is what the gringos and North Americans do. This is what the Americans do. But it goes against them. Today, in the Gaza Strip, Gazans are the most sanctioned on the planet. There, not even medicines, water, or anything else is allowed to enter. Zionism and its godfather, North American imperialism, are the ones leading it. The people are wise. They persevere on the path of independence and sovereignty.
En el camino de independencia y la soberanía.
The sanctions have proven to be a fiasco at the end of the day. This is Black and White. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. Hoy, para hablar desde sanciones y bloqueos.
Today, we have a guest from Italy to talk about sanctions and blockade by imperialist powers against nations, governments, and countries. Fabrizio Cassari, Italian journalist and international analyst, expert in analyzing economic sanctions and punitive measures applied by capitalist powers against nations. Fabrizio Cassari, welcome to Black and White.
A Negro y Blanco por Hispan TV.
Thank you for your invitation. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Fabrizio, desde ubiquémonos en nuestra época desde el punto de vista contemporáneo.
At the current historical stage, what are the goals, consequences, and manifestations of these policies and sanctions by the imperialist powers?
De sanciones y bloqueos por parte de las potencias imperialistas.
La política de bloqueo y de sanciones es parte de.
The policy of blockade and sanctions is called the fourth and fifth generation war, depending on who brings it up. The modern war, which the unipolar world starts, is to simply prevent the world from becoming multipolar. In order to prevent the loss of its hegemonic role as a group, the West is increasingly using all the tools of the fifth generation war, that is diplomacy, politics, and above all, the media and sanctions, which are the tools of this war. Sanctions today affect 17 countries with specific and selective measures and 6 countries with general measures. We must note that the type of these actions can be general or targeted at individuals. Therefore, a total of 23 countries have been targeted by unilateral, illegitimate, and illegal sanctions. We are talking about 72% of the world's population and more than 30% of the entire world's GDP. I said this to understand the size and the scope of this action. Sanctions, on the other hand, result from a clear but unfair desire to win a competition, competing with products and markets. When you ban the export of a country's products and when you have the same product, you will be the only option for purchase. Furthermore, when you prevent a country from using the international transaction withdrawal system, things get more complicated. The effect of this action is not only on your target country, but also on all countries that want to do business with it. This gets even more complicated when you block a country from accessing SWIFT transactions and also block it from using the dollar currency. When a country is sanctioned, the only option left is to buy Western goods. With these conditions, the West keeps its economy in a state of addiction and says that it is the best and biggest economy. But no, the reason is sanctions. As I told you, sanctions are not a substitute for war. Many times you are told that sanctions are a substitute for war. This is a lie. Sanctions are the art of war. This should be clarified. And in the following, we will see their dire goals.
Entonces esto habría que quedarlo claro, claro. Y vamos a ver después cuáles son sus objetivos finales, ¿no?
Así es. Las sanciones son parte de la guerra. Ahora bien, cómo los pueblos.
Yes, that's right. Sanctions are part of the war. Now, according to the current situation that we are witnessing, the situation has changed. As we know, we see American countries that have stood up for their rights, and how the Democratic People's Republic of Korea has strengthened in science and the military sector, etc. And Venezuela has made an incredible progress in food production. And Iran has solved a series of issues in the food security sector and has made progress in the scientific and military fields. And also in the case of Russia, it seems that the sanctions have had the opposite effect.
La propia Rusia, ¿no es cierto? Pareciera ser que el efecto fue al revés, ¿no? Es decir, hoy día.
Is there a case today that sanctions have been able to achieve the goal of overthrowing a government and changing the direction of a country?
A un gobierno a cambiar la orientación de ese estado?
Jamás, ni uno. Ni uno.
Never, not a single one. There is no country in the world that has been overthrown due to Western sanctions. When I say Western sanctions, it is actually an implicit meaning that means U.S. sanctions. And then the rest of the West also follows these sanctions, but they're not the ones who impose the sanctions. I mean specifically the European Union. EU sanctions are ridiculous. For example, it's funny when Latin American countries like Nicaragua is sanctioned because Europe's trade relations with Nicaragua are very small. What does Nicaragua lose when sanctioned? What we see is that the ultimate goal of sanctions is to topple governments. Who are these sanctions against? Against all governments that do not submit their political sovereignty, resources, and political identity to the West, or in fact, America. Countries that believe that they have the right to choose their own government, as well as the right to choose the government's program, goals, and international stance, are considered enemies. How do they become enemies? A campaign is started which almost always says that those countries are violating human rights.
Se comienza la campaña diciendo que esos países casi siempre, siempre violan los derechos humanos.
Ahí vamos a quedar.
We will take a break for a few moments and then continue the second part with Fabrizio Casari.
Volvemos, estamos acá con Fabrizio Casari.
Back here we are with Fabrizio Casari. The discussion is about embargo and blockade. You were giving reasons for your own explanations. Go ahead, Fabrizio, please.
Adelante, por favor, Fabrizio.
Sí, lo que decía es que no haya habido ni un gobierno en el mundo.
Yes, I was saying that there is not a single government in the world that has been overthrown due to the sanctions of the United States and the West. And there is no government that will fall because of this in the future. This is a zero-sum game, and when despite the efforts of America and the West, when the desired result is not achieved, it means America's defeat. Sanctions are illegitimate because they have not been declared by any international court or the United Nations, which are the only organizations that have the authority to impose sanctions. These sanctions are illegal because they're not announced by the courts. They are announced by the offices of a ministry, and they are part of the political actions. These sanctions are unfair because the people being sanctioned have nothing to do with the government that may or may not fall. But the reality is that they hit the governments that do not surrender their political sovereignty and resources to America. Governments that do not want to determine their own political line and place in international confrontations in exchange for not being sanctioned. These countries are immediately considered by the U.S. as enemy countries, and then the U.S. says that these countries violate human rights or claim that these countries are declared an extraordinary threat to the security of the U.S. Why do they say this, despite the fact that it is a country 30,000 kilometers away? They say this, and they make management statements about it so that they later commit the most theft of resources based on these words. They must have a political justification for their robberies and looting, otherwise the law of America itself will not allow them to do so. The point is that 72% of the world's population is sanctioned by the other 25%. Can a system like this continue to work? Obviously not. Can almost 30% of the GDP be sanctioned? Because the one who used to have 60% of the production and now this figure doesn't even reach 40% of the world's gross domestic product makes such a decision. These are questions that all lawyers and people with knowledge in the world have. But in addition to some of this conversation, there's also the boomerang effect of sanctions. What will happen? When some countries are sanctioned, the United States and Europe cannot officially sell those products, and this causes their products to be stockpiled. These products expire. For one, because I remind you again, we are talking about 72% of the world's population. So when you know that you can't do business with 72% of the world's population, you can't sell anything to them. You can't buy anything from them. Your production will only be for 28% of the world's population. This amount is very, very low. So your economy will have very, very little growth and possibly negative growth. So this is what is officially on paper, while the U.S. has historically shown that it sanctions with one hand and negotiates with the other. One example is that they announced that they want to impose the biggest and toughest sanctions in history against Russia. Now, on the other hand, as a result of this action, the growth of Russia's GDP is higher than that of the European Union, which said it wanted to finish Russia's work. On the other hand, the oil and gas that reaches Europe, which they said can no longer come from Russia, still comes from Russia. It just happens that it goes through other countries, and because of that, they charge you more. So you have the same oil as before, just a little less volume, and you're paying a lot more money for it than before. And you're no longer dependent on one country, but three or four. And of course, the gas that you are going to get from the U.S., the U.S. liquefied natural gas, the amount is very small and not enough for Europe at all. And the price is much more expensive than what Russia was giving you. So what a smart person at the center of the unipolar imperial decision-making apparatus would adopt such a stupid strategy.
Cuarto decisional del imperio unipolar decide semejante estrategia idiota.
Una estrategia idiota, como dices tú, Fabricio. De cualquier manera,
a stupid strategy, as you said, Fabrizio. Fortunately, countries have been able to industrialize and ensure their own food security and develop in this direction. This is one of the consequences of sanctions. This is a very complicated matter. On the other hand, there is a very interesting phenomenon, which is the coordination, unity and cooperation between the embargoed countries, which is a kind of resistance and building a different environment.
Que también es una forma de resistencia y de construir un espacio distinto. Mira.
Look, the nations of the sanctioned countries use their intelligence to make fun of many, or in fact all, sanctions. I remember when I was in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, they definitely made fun of some of the sanctions. As I remember that in the period of socialist Albania, in the period between 1976 and 1986, there were large companies producing textile products, and all of their products ended up in the market with the label Made in Italy.
Telares, mucho. Y todos, al final salían al mercado, y estaban en el mercado, con la etiqueta Made in Italia.
This means that nations have the ability to overcome sanctions and blockades in any way. What experience do you have of dealing with and passing behind sanctions?
Para superarlos. ¿Qué experiencia tú ves aquí en el desarrollo desde los pueblos para enfrentar y superar estas sanciones?
La cuestión es incrementar.
The issue is a significant increase in development of South-South relations. South-South relations should take the place of North. Today it is much easier to exchange products with any other country than it was 20 years ago. Every country can achieve a level of production of products and services. The policy of imperialism is stupid because they don't take into account that in the past, until about 50 to 20 years ago, resources were exchanged with technology and its improvements. Today, the owners of resources no longer need new technologies. Because firstly, some countries have very, very advanced technology. And secondly, if a technology doesn't reach them, there are countries that are willing to give the technology, for example, China, Russia, and Brazil itself. So what is the threat where the logic of exchange prevails? When you pay the price of my product at the international market, and if you want, you cannot do the exchange, the idea of you sanctioning me is stupid. You see, they sanctioned the Russian oil and gas pipeline to Europe and wanted to prevent Russian gas from reaching Europe. But what happened was that gas flows from Turkey and Azerbaijan and then returns here. What did Russia do? It used to have a strong trading partner, the European Union, and specifically Germany and two lines that transported oil and gas quickly and directly. For political reasons, he sold gas at a very low price. Today, it sells this gas at a relatively higher price to India and China and to other countries such as Pakistan, countries that did not buy it before. Russia started diversifying its customers and therefore has many more customers than before and is much less dependent on one customer only.
Al diversificar la cartera, a tener mucho más gente que te compra, tener mucha menos dependencia de cualquiera de ellos.
La realidad actual donde se comienza.
Today's reality is that countries are starting to do business with their own national currencies. India works with rupees, Russia with rubles, China with yuan, etc. Today, therefore, the dollar is not very decisive. How does this approach affect the possibility of circumventing or neutralizing sanctions?
En la posibilidad de sortear o burlar las sanciones.
Mira, hermano, en una forma muy fácil, es un desastre para Estados Unidos.
Look, brother, this is very easy. It's a disaster for America, because thanks to the dollar, as the only player in international exchange, America was given the ability and power in international trade to determine who sells what and who buys what and the terms of payment, and this way it earns billions of dollars per day per transaction. This situation is not going to continue now. The dollar will no longer be the only medium of exchange. According to the predictions made in a 10-year period, the dollar will probably not be the first currency. Why? Because as always, there's a proverb that says, idiots, in addition to being stupid, also become blind. When the US tried to sanction Russia, it made it impossible for Russia to access the dollar market and the Russian account was blocked, like what they did with Venezuela in the past. Most of the countries in the international level have resources abroad for emergencies that can happen. Now, almost all strategic reserves have been in dollars. Now, there are many countries that say, if I ever get into a conflict with America for any reason, America will stop me and take all my reserves from me. No, it is better not to do this. And they are de-dollarizing their reserves. There are many countries that willingly de-dollarize their resources gradually without creating a monetary shock. And many more countries are planning to do this. Having less dollars means having less demand for dollars. Less demand for dollars means less production of dollars. Less production of dollars means that the U.S. debt cannot be paid.
Por la deuda de los Estados Unidos, la cara de impagable.
Gracias, Fabrizio. Desgraciadamente.
Thank you, Fabrizio. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of the program. Thank you very much for your participation. This is Black and White.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady. You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of Muslim Ladies. Well, once again, I have the honor and the pleasure to be here as your host. This is Asma, of course. And here with me, I have the pleasure to sit with Sister Nahid. She's a researcher on women's study. And then let her talk about herself. So, assalamu alaikum, sister.
Assalamu alaikum to you and all your dear listeners. This is Nahid, and I'm so honored to be with you today.
Thank you for my coming pleasure. Here. Just for the audience to know you more, since we're ladies and we're talking to each other, so maybe some people are there who do not know you, very briefly introduce yourself.
Yeah, I've been doing some researches on women issues, and especially dealing with the Islamic women and the kinds of challenges and the issues that they may face in a society.
Thank you for sharing that with us, sister. In Muslim Lady, we talk about everything that is related to women. And as you already know, there are a huge list of issues and topics to talk about.